Hello, and we're here at the Ridge Prescott Valley, and we're going to start something a little different and see how this goes. This is a podcast. I have with me Pastor Will. Say hi.
Hello.
Hello. And I have with me Ross.
Hey.
Hey. Sunday was kind of an interesting Sunday, was it not?
Yes, it was.
It was very, very unique, and we'll get into a little bit that towards the end of how unique it was, but it kind of was the genesis of this idea because kind of the first half of the sermon was not necessarily recordable, I guess, is the best way of putting it because of some events that took place. So we decided maybe start this.
Yeah.
The topic of your sermon, though, was a very interesting one, which was what?
Yeah, what are we missing?
What are we missing? So what are we missing in terms of our... Right now, we're going through the book of Romans. So what was the genesis of that? What caused your mind to go there to say, what are we missing in terms of what we're doing?
Yeah, well, I think when you're going through a book of the Bible, there's this pressure to get through it. You know,
yes.
You get through it. How many verses are you going to get in? How far are you going to get? Well, sometimes we just jump over really important pieces that are brought up in that. So in particular with this, you know, this balance in Romans between God's grace and works and old faith for Jews and new faith for Gentiles, you can kind of lose the fact of who you are in Christ and how Christ changed things.
Yeah.
And so.
No, it's a tricky subject because we're talking theologically a lot with Paul's arguments here, but a lot of times when you start speaking of that, you miss the personal nature and the idea of your personal relationship with God that's there. Ross, do you think that has an effect on actual worship? When we're going through a book like that, as we get theological, does it have an effect on the way people worship, so to speak, when they come into Sunday morning in terms of song?
I think, well, maybe for the last, because we do it where we'll do opening songs and we'll do some songs at the beginning, and then there's the sermon, and then there's those reflective, or at least that one reflective song, and I think that's impacted a lot by people's reflection of what that message was.
Yes.
So a lot of the times, maybe the first four are more of just a unified worship experience, and then, which I think you can find a lot of personal revelation in that, but I think a lot of the actual, where the message touched or the Spirit came in and touched people's hearts in that Sunday morning, that comes in that fifth kind of song, where it's after, and we've had these tennis balls thrown at us, and like, are we actually, like, what am I missing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we have all these, like, brand new, fresh thoughts, and it's kind of like we've all just heard this same thing, but the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is that he's speaking to each of us individually, and so that kind of comes out in that kind of last song, I think.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is the challenge of what happens Sunday.
Right.
You know, because here's a message, here's what God's put on your heart to tell people, and that's going to affect their lives. But how far does that go? How many minutes after they walk out of the door of the church does
right.
that message really impact their lives? As a pastor, speak a little bit about the challenge of that.
Yeah, like you were saying, Ross, I think it's fresh. So you have that song after the sermon, that it's with them during that song, but will they lose it after that song? Or next week when they come back at the very beginning, will they be able to re-embrace that type of idea or what God was speaking to them, you know?
Yeah.
Can they continue to think about, what am I missing in my faith that keeps me from accepting all of these great things that the Lord said about me and how he feels about me?
Mm-hmm.
And if I did, then I would be really excited to worship him through song, through anything. Mm-hmm. But will they forget that between now and song one next week? I don't know, right?
Well, I mean,
I think, like, yes.
So, yes,
so the most, sometimes I walk in on Sunday mornings and I can't even remember what we talked about
right?
before.
Well, I mean, and you know, you guys get so tied up in the minutia of just getting the service provided. I mean,
right.
that's, I hate saying that it's your job, but it's your job,
right?
And you, but you have a unique ability to have something where it's your job, but to do for the heart of God too,
mm-hmm.
And so that does present a challenge to you guys.
Right.
But I think there's actually a blessing there, and the blessing is sometimes God becomes more impactful in that because you're just trying to get through this, but the Holy Spirit takes over, and does something, even though your intent was something completely different. That's actually pretty interesting there.
Like Sunday was definitely an example of that.
Sunday was a big example of that, and we're going to get to that at the end. Sum up a little bit of Romans. We've gone through the first three chapters of Romans. This is Paul. I mean, Paul's amazing. I mean, Paul's mind is amazing. So Romans 1, what are some keys from Romans 1 that you just the bigger picture of Romans 1 that you want to express?
Yeah, you know, Paul is addressing some things, like in Romans 1, he talks about being set apart for this good news that comes from God. And about this good news being Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and was resurrected. And so because of that, we've received this grace, this gift, like his love. And we want to be obedient to what he asks us to, but our obedience doesn't make us holy. It's our holiness comes from our faith in Jesus' work.
Right.
So that's what sets us apart. So lots of church words.
You know? Lots of church words in there. I mean, it's some things I picked up. One of the things he wanted to do when he came there, he wanted to come so they could mutually encourage one another. There was a big part of all of the worship that we do. I mean, one of the things, keys, Ross, in worship is, you know, how do you connect to God, but then how we connect to each other. Mm. People's connection to each other can really affect their idea of worship. And their idea of worship through song. We say worship because we always kind of think worship is song, but worship goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. But even in song,
there's a power, and I think it's not just in worship music, but you can hear a power when there's a unified body of people singing the same thing, and like you can just hear kind of a like an emotion or a call. There's like a community and a unity. Singing, like there's an idea and you're all singing it together, and this is, I don't know, it's like a team. I don't know, it's kind of like we're all a community and we're doing this together right now, and we're all saying the same thing. And I mean, I've seen the same kind of thing happen at music is just cool. It just brings people together. Yes. And it has this power that kind of goes in your soul without permission. And like you can hear something, feel something immediately.
I find it interesting. Non-believers say, "Oh, there's nothing to belief and worship." Really? Go to a rock concert sometime.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can.
You watch thousands of people worship.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At high levels.
Oh yeah. I went to I was talking about a Coldplay concert I went to to Will, but I mean they play. It's, I don't know, 50,000 people at least.
Yeah.
But one of my friends, they played that song "Fix You."
Yes.
And he, afterwards, he was like, "I think I had like a spiritual experience." music does something to you where it pulls out. I don't know. It brings people together, and you're all doing this one thing, and you're singing this one thing, but it means something different to every single person.
The interesting correlation with that, with Romans 1, is he says the things of God are clearly seen, right?
Right.
They're clearly seen. Mm-hmm. The natural man can see God when they go to a rock concert. They can.
Yeah, they can.
That's worship. We're designed, we're purposed to worship. And if you don't believe it, go see a Sunday football game. Go watch a fight. Go see a basketball game. You want to talk about people worshiping. Mm-hmm. They're worshiping a team. They're worshiping an athlete. They're worshiping, right. People worship in, with going to musicals. I mean, the fandoms that are out there, that's pure worship.
Yep.
It's just worship of things that have been created instead of the creator. I mean, that's the truth that's in Romans 1.
Yeah, Paul's kind of talking about that. He's like, well, here's what it is, and what I am to that is like a slave, like a bondservant. Like, I'm given over to that. And like you're saying, we give ourselves over to so many things. We're going to, at our core, give ourselves over, sacrifice for whatever it is that we seem valuable.
It is.
And so there's that invitation, like, do that for this.
It's amazing. We can go from worship to showing that the truth of God comes out in all of this, no matter what people are doing. Romans 2 starts kind of an argument, and I want to say it probably was, you made a big deal of what the opening of Romans 2 was, and I think it permeated from Romans 2 even into a little bit of Romans 3, which was about, does the people judging people and does and so forth. And I think it was, go a little bit with Romans 2. Where does Romans 2 take us?
So, I think Paul's trying to set this in a world where we hear about grace and God's love. He's trying to make the point that God's judgment is still coming. Like that hasn't stopped. The difference now is because of Jesus, he has taken that judgment, that wrath that's coming for believers. And so it's not you being perfect. So what happens then when we begin to judge other people and expect them to be perfect and tear them down for doing the exact things that we do?
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Right.
I mean, that's the log and the plank and the speck and all of that stuff. But we find ourselves doing it all the time.
True.
How often, Ross, what kind of, even in your own life, you ever had experiences where you've maybe made a judgment on somebody even though there was something in your own life that was kind of challenging?
I've made a judgment on people who I'm doing the same exact thing and just not being honest about it.
I mean, that's really where we're the tools for each other. That's where God works in our lives. That's, I think some of the things that happens, we get so separated from everybody else, we don't see the lack of humility in our own life. It's really what it is, moving into the pride of our lives, and we kind of throw that onto somebody else. I call it judge or be judged, right. But you're going to be judged for judging.
Right.
It's an interesting concept there. Romans 3 is, kind of this, a transition in the argument from saying, okay, God's real and he's evident in everyone's life. Judgment is going to come. This is not something that's just gone away. And I think he even talked about the fact that people had accused them of saying judgment really wasn't coming because they talked about freedom of Christ and those things. So there was a talk of Christians not believing that God was really going to condemn.
Yeah.
I think that was some of it. But then we get into Romans 3, and another point that you started to make was, does our unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? That was a great concept there. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think we were just looking at that, and if there is judgment coming, and if it's God's grace that gave us Jesus to take that judgment, that wrath, then what advantage is there to being a Jew over being a Gentile? And he's saying, really, hey, they got the oracles of God. However, even though they got that, they blew it.
Right.
So a lot of times they made a mistake. And I think our tendency is we try to put God in human terms where it's like, people disappoint me, so surely God's going to. And so his point is like, will people disappoint God? Sure. Will they disappoint you? Sure. Will they be unfaithful, do the wrong things? Sure. But don't be confused that means that God's going to be unfaithful. Even if everyone else is a liar, God wouldn't lie.
How many people accuse God? All the time of forsaking them or not. Now, God doesn't love me because I didn't win the lottery,
or
it gets much more intense than that. But that's kind of the example there.
And then I've seen so many people that are just like, this God thing just isn't working. Like I've gone to church for so long. That's a lot of our culture now. Like people my age are, it's like, I mean, we grew up in church and now we're all in mid-20s and a lot of them just like, this God thing just isn't working. Like I just went every Sunday, went to private school, and like nothing's changing in my life. Like I still feel like it's that. I guess like the culture that we grew up in and some of the church misinterpretation was that when you have faith in Jesus that your life is easy.
Right.
When that's not the case at all. It's definitely not going to be easy. You're just going to get stronger.
Well, and me personally, I got tied up in the, if I do this, God will do this.
Mm-hmm.
In order for God to work in my life, I need to change this in my life.
Right.
Okay. That's a lie.
Yeah.
God works with us despite where we are.
Mm-hmm.
If you seek him. The key is to seek him. The key is not to make sure your behavior is correct. God doesn't care that I didn't go to church last week.
Mm-hmm.
Church attendance is not a thing that God requires, needs of us. God doesn't, yeah. It doesn't affect him one way or the other. Now, my not going to church kept Will from impacting my life. That's a bad thing. But people have a sense that, you know, I got to do something for God to do something. That's not the case. God wants to work with you right where you are, right, regardless of what you've done. And I've seen God work in those ways in my life. And I think, Will, as a pastor, you probably see that even more than people will ever think.
Right. Yeah. I think I see that in my own life. You know, it's magnified doing this. You can just see what's wrong in you. It's like being a parent, right?
And,
I'm
going to say it's great. It comes out in your preaching. It really does. You do a great job of showing that humility of saying this. I mean, that's an amazing part of what you do here that makes people comfortable with what they're doing. Here's a guy up there saying, you know,
I'm human.
I'm a human. Right. I struggle with this. I'm a human where the thing in my head that keeps me from people from coming up front is just gone.
Yes. Right.
So that's a great part of what you do. Romans is a great place to put study into. I think how long did John Piper preach on Romans? I think it was like 15 years.
Wow.
He went through Romans, John Piper and his church there, 15 to 20 years, I think was how long it took him to preach through the book of Romans. I don't think it's going to take us 20 years.
No.
But pausing here was a good thing. And in that pause, the service, why we say about service was, Will, you brought up your family. Yeah. Talk a little bit about why you did that real quick.
Yeah. So I think, you know, everyone, including pastors, you have these periods of time where there's struggle. I mean, you have your own issues, right? Like you were saying, our own humanity and how that gets in the way. So you have your own issues, and then you have other people's issues. And when you live in community with them, you know, if you have, let's say you're impacted by 360 people, you know, in a congregation of people, and each one of them has one really bad day a year, well, you become part of their one bad day of the year, and now you have 365 difficult days. So
right. There's
that aspect for the pastor,
it
you
is.
Know. So, and then also people's insecurities, their sin, that impacts you as well. Letters, conversations, hospital visits, funerals, weddings, all this. And so there's a lot there, right? And then not even to mention with the things that are happening spiritually, the attack when you step out. And so you have all these pressures, and pastors everywhere won't say anything about I'm struggling or I'm having a hard time.
Right.
Or you should come to my house. Like everyone seems to be sick all the time. What is this?
Right.
You know, the conversations, most people in a church don't see that. And I think the tendency is the pastor doesn't want to be a whiner, right? Like, oh, poor me. Mm-hmm. Right. Because God blesses us tremendously. But how am I supposed to expect everyone else around me to be real and honest and share when they're struggling if I and my family don't share?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a dangerous place to go where everyone thinks the pastor's invincible or like this God under a God kind of thing. And so to admit struggles to them is like, I don't know. It's like they're this pastor is on this different level of spirituality than these people. And that's completely unbiblical in every way.
In every single way. Yeah. I mean, and even as a music leader, the same things.
Oh yeah. Exist.
I mean, people have expectations that are unrealistic in every way.
Yeah.
So,
and us, we've been living in such close proximity. I mean, he's part of this group too, where you just see the impact and the weight on this. So that, you know, that's where my wife was praying in the middle of the night and said, wow, we really should share this and be honest. And so taking that to the Lord, and it's like, yes, get the prayer, be the example, invite other people to share when they struggle too.
Yep. So Will shared that on Sunday and said, hey, pray for me, and was about to launch, you know, send his family back to the seats because he brought his family up to the front. And Joe, what's Joe's last name?
Wilkinson.
Joe Wilkinson, who he was part of the youth for a while. He led some youth. He an amazing man. He's moving to North Carolina, but he came back. Yeah. And Joe stood up in the middle of service and just said, you know what? Guys, let's pray for him right now, and led the majority of people up to the front to lay hands and pray immediately right then and there for Will. And that's kind of why the first half of the sermon was a little different.
Right, right.
And, yeah. And it was an amazing sight of seeing the church just it spontaneously get up there and individuals specifically pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those individuals that did speak, they were moved. And it was a great thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
That was something else.
Yeah, and for God to use, you know, Joe, his last day in town before he's moving to South Carolina.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful. Yeah.
I mean, Joe meant a lot to us here, and he will continue to. Yeah. You know, he's not going to ever go away. But there's some amazing men of God in this church, and he certainly was one of them, and we really love Joe for what he did. So that leads us to Will starting his sermon. So we're going to start his sermon, basically, what are we missing? And so the rest of his sermon after the context goes into this, and it'll be about 25, 30 minutes, and then we'll end. So talk to you soon. Thank you.
Here's what I want to talk to you about today. The question that I have is what are we missing? There's something missing here. It's Romans 1 said this, Romans 1:16, Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," which the gospel, right, the word means, like we've actually put it in a box and we call it like a theology, right? But the idea of the gospel, the word translated here, would have the feeling of this is a real great tidings, good news, something really awesome that I have to tell you, right? We would use that word like, check this out, this is awesome. So the really great news is that this great news is God's power to save everyone who believes. The Jew first, and also the Greek. So anyone who's not Jewish, that would be most of us here. The word salvation here, we throw that word as church word around, right? It has to do with rescue or safety. Deliver, having to do with health. Save or saving. This salvation is not only a one-time thing, but it's an ongoing thing. The word here. So, okay, I believe that's true. And then he goes on to say in Romans 3, he's talking about how God, who God is, all the things that he does, and then what he did for his people. But then he asks this question, because you and I might be thinking, that's great. God can save us, but only if I'm doing good, and only if I can be strong enough, and only if I can earn it. And so he's talking about the people of God and what's happened with them, and then he brings this up. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? And he goes, by no means. No way. No way. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. And I've read that a bunch of times, and you read through it so quickly, but think about that. Even if everyone else in this room let you down, everyone else, even the dearest person to you, was lying to you and hiding from you and hurting you, God wouldn't do it. I can't even fathom that in my head. See, because you and I, we keep putting God in human terms. In human terms, like, I love my wife, right? I want nothing more. It's not my intention any day when I wake up to hurt her. However, in the last 2 decades, no one's probably caused her more hurt than me. And if you happen to be married, you could probably say the same thing about your spouse, and they could say the same thing about you, right? So, hey, do the heads if you're like, yep, sure. Right? Join me in the, it's true. Even in their unfaithfulness, and I'm not just talking about, you know, physically, sexually, we're talking about, are they there for you? Do they let you down? Even when they let you down, God won't. Well, okay. And then he says all these things, guys. You see, there's these blessings and these promises of God that he says, and we read in the Bible, and kids in Sunday school, you're learning these things. And I kind of wonder, and I ask God, what's missing here? If you love us this much, if you think all these great things about us, if you had all these promises, these hopes, and these dreams for us, if you really created me so special, how come my experience is like it is? Because for most people, they're really just kind of getting by. For most people, most men feel something like this, like, I'm blowing it, and I'm just not good enough. And I saw it in my boys in grade school. I felt it in grade school. And whatever it is for you that makes you feel like you're not good enough. And men, what do we do because we don't feel good enough? What do we try to do? Let me ask it this way. How would you make up for that feeling inside of you that you're not good enough and the guy next to you is probably better? What kind of things do? We excel, right? We choose something that we think we're good at and we live and die on that. What other things do? Cut them down. That's a powerful one. We do that. We tear other people down so we feel better, right? Go online now. All we do is criticize everything and everybody. Like someone wants our opinion. No one asked for your opinion. But if I can trash them, then I feel better about myself. Very true. What else do? We get confused. Yeah. Withdraw. There we go. We get down on, it's true. It's true. I'm not as good as everyone else. And you meet the men like that, right? You can see that they've taken a little bit of a beating and they just kind of have a spirit about them where you're like, wow, man, that poor guy's really down. I wish he'd come alive. And most women, they feel something like they're not cherished or adored. It's another version if they're not good enough. So what do women do when they don't feel good enough? They shut down. That's one way. Yeah. They do the same thing. They'll shut down and say, you're right. Or what else do? They what? Overeat. They medicate. Yeah. Yeah. The men and women, we have different, sometimes different forms, sometimes the same forms of medicating that pain. Every time it pops up, I don't want to say it's true. So I medicate that. Drugs, alcohol, sex, food. Right? What other things? Pretend like it doesn't bother them. They get hard, right? They get hard. Another thing, they try to find whoever tells them they're great and latch on to them, right? Some of you guys are the guys they latched on to that made them feel great. And then the rest of your life, maybe you can't keep that up. And so it becomes disappointing. See, this is what happens. That's the reality of what we're experiencing. But the truth that we need to know is God's truth. And so I'm wondering, how can we read this, guys? How can we read this? Like, what's some good thing that God has said about us? His own, right? I'm going to throw this ball at you. He's like, Joe, God's like, Joe, Aaron will catch it. Joe, I am your own. He throws that at you, right? Yeah, right? And then what usually happens is Joe's like, yeah, yeah, and he throws it back. Boom, right? And so you go to church, you go to Sunday school, even the people around you, you get that next compliment, that next little dose, you know? Hey, you're my own. And he throws it back and you're like, okay, that's great, but keep on going. Yeah, but this person said or that person said, right? So what are we missing here? This is what I've been praying about. What are we missing here? Well, this is really weird. Well, I know, right? Right? What are we missing? Most of us are missing God, faithfulness, and the Holy Spirit. That's really true. What you're saying is true. Very good. Now, yeah, Steve. We're missing the person that's saying that. Addressing the person. Okay. Yeah. Those are all really good answers. Yeah. Love. That's actually a great, great answer. See, when someone came to Jesus, guys, they basically, this is the Will translation, okay? So just bear with me. Basically, someone's like God, came to God in human form, Jesus, and said, Jesus, so many rules, so many laws, so many things to do. Could you please just tell me what I would need to do to get eternal life? You know, what would I need to do to be with you? What would I need to do to be right for all these laws and these rules? And Jesus said, well, I could sum it up like this. First of all, right? This is what Blaise was saying. Love the Lord your God, like everything you got, right? He gets your mind, he gets your heart, he gets your money, he gets your time, he gets your priority. Do that. Now, and second, which goes with the first, love your neighbor, not just the person that lives next door in your house, but your neighbor, all of us on this journey together as yourself. Dun, 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 dun. That's where the love comes in. You see, because you and I You ready for it again, Joe? Okay. Okay, so when God says, Joe, you're my own, and he sends that at you, you read it in the Bible, you hear it in a sermon, there you go. You see what Joe just did? He took that ball and he stuck it down his shirt. And so sort of a churchy word maybe, he received that. He believed it. See, because what saves us is our faith and our believing. But having an intellectual, having these ideas pass through our intellect isn't doing it. We're not believing it. We're taking in all this information and we're throwing it, right? Hey, Johnny, God loves you, man. Yeah, right? You know, hey, Rosh, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, man. You know, hey, you are the bride of Christ, Grace. You know, all these things, and you're like, yeah. And then you throw them back. Like, okay, cool. That made me feel good for a minute. Yeah. Right? But here's why in churches, guys, people are saying read your Bible. This is why we're telling you, you don't just come Sunday and listen to something I say, because I'm going to throw a lot of these things at you. But what you have to do is you have to take that and you have to ask for yourself before the Lord, because you have a God who loves you so much, he will talk to you. You've got to be able to take that and consider it. And you have to, for it to change your life, you have to, what Joe did, you almost have to consume it, right? You have to make it a part of you. You have to consider it and consider the implications and applications of that. Does that make sense? I think that's what's missing. I believe praying about it, that's what's missing. You see, because let me just tell you some things here, right? God created you in his own image. Boom, right? His eyes saw your unformed substance. These are right from the scriptures, guys, right from the scriptures. He knit you together in your mother's womb, right? I mean, come on. How amazing is this, guys? He knows, let's find someone. He knows the number of hairs on your head, right? And before a word is on your tongue, he knows it. Want one? Wow. If you don't trust him, you have a problem. It's because I believe we haven't taken the time to consider it, because we have to get to chapter 4 of Romans. Right? You're already taking a year to get through this, Will. Hurry up. No. He knows. He pays enough attention to you. The God of the universe pays enough attention to you. He knows the word on your tongue before you say it. I don't think most of us really believe that. But have you heard it before? Oh, yeah. He knit me together. I saw those women trying to knit. Man, that's complicated, right? Like, added a week and you got like two lines. And you're like, holy cow, that's a lot of work. He saw my unformed substance. What were you going to say, boys? He knows who you are before anyone else knows who you are. Right? Then he goes on to say in Psalms, and if you look up here, you can see the scripture references. I'm not just making this stuff up. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's given you dominion over all sheep and oxen. This doesn't sound so awesome right now in Prescott Valley, but it's a big deal, believe me. All the sheep and the oxen and the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. Wow. He crowned you with glory and honor at the apex of his creation. Well, to be fair, he didn't say the final everything is good until he made the woman. So I know, guys, so, yeah. Which I get, you know. They're quite lovely. I could see why after that he's like, okay, now we're there. But these things he said. But then there's some bad news. See, but from the very beginning, we exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So We worship the served, created things rather than God, the Creator. What does that look like? God could say 1,000 really great things about you. You could read it in the scripture. You could feel like you were hearing his voice. And I could undo that with one harsh sentence. Because you and I have begun to learn to worship what other people think about us more than what God says. Wow. I almost have to sit down on that one. That's just like... So if everyone else let me down, if everyone lied, if everyone said bad things about me, God wouldn't. Wow. See, there's more bad news. We've all sinned and fallen short of the God, of God's glory, or of the glory of God. And the penalty for sin is death. And in our sin, we were spiritually dead. We were children of wrath, living as enemies to God. We have turned aside from God, and we become corrupt. And what Paul's telling us in Romans, guys, because we've suppressed all the things we could know about God, everything he's taught us, we've gotten blind. We've got darkness in the way, so much so that we can't see clearly. And so you and I are walking around like foggy-headed, sight-blocked, dimmed, because we continue, even though we're his, even though we go to church, even though we're quote-unquote Christian, we would be dead spiritually. But here's that good news we're talking about, right? It's not like a five-step. It's not the Romans road or whatever. The good news that I'm supposed to tell you about is then Jesus came. Then Jesus came. So how do we get from that, like, you're dying because of your sin? None of you have done wrong. God's wrath is coming from you. This is what Paul keeps trying to tell us. We can't get past. Jesus is such extremely good news. Then came Jesus. Guys, he came, and from what we know in the scriptures, like, he lived this spotless life to be a sacrifice. He experienced all the temptations that we had, but didn't sin. He gave up his right to be right, his right to be heard, his right to safety, his right to comfort. And when he struggled, he was honest about it, and he got away to be with the Lord. And then he did the ultimate thing. He took on the wrath of God for you and I. Like, now we have medical, and I've read this in quite a few places, but apparently from the way that he reacted when they stabbed the spear in his side with the water, that, I mean, this guy had, his body had suffered like a literal broken heart because of the weight. For every time I lose my temper, every lustful thought I've had, every indiscretion, every anger, every control, every fear, all these things that I do that make me fall short of the weight and the design for God. But Paul keeps telling us this. He's like, guys, check this out. Like, Jesus came, and now everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Right? That's like good news. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus would be saved. Wow. Right? What does that mean? What does that even mean? Like, how do you do that? Where's the line I cross where it's like, okay, now I've called on the name? Is it just Jesus, right? Do we all just do it when we sing Jesus, Jesus? Do we do that? Like, what is it? But you should take it, and you should chew on it, and you should think about it, and you should ask God about it, because it's true, because it's in the Bible. Mike, we who believed are born again, man. You could catch across the room, I know that, but you know. Dramatic effect. Born again? Wow, right? God has adopted us. We are children of God, heirs of God. See, I get that because I got kids, man. I don't want things to go bad for them. Sometimes they get mad at me. Sometimes I've yelled at them. Sometimes I've grounded them. Sometimes we have a bad day as a family. But I want all together for their good. We're no longer orphans. You are not alone. We belong to God, and he loves us as a perfect father. In God's eyes, you are a brand new creation. Okay, there's resistance there. We'll try it again. Let's try that again. Now we know who's asleep and who's awake. Boom. There you go. Ross has got it. In God's eyes, Ross, you are a brand new creation, man. The old has passed away. The new has come. Sin is no longer your master. Will it come for you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Will it tempt you? Yeah. Will it invite you to believe the wrong things about yourself and give yourself over to it? Sure. But you're not a slave to it. And you're no longer spiritually dead because of Jesus. Now you're alive to God. You're finally free from the slavery of sin and death. There is now no condemnation for you. All your sins are forgiven. Your unrighteousness has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You are now righteous in God's sight with the very righteousness of his perfect Son. You've been saved by grace. You've been justified by faith. You are completely secure in God, and nothing will be able to separate you from his love. Randy, nothing can separate you from God's love. Wow. No one, Richard, is able to snatch you out of God's hand. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. What if those things were true? Wouldn't that be awesome? What if you'd actually believe even a handful of those things? I mean, I think you literally glow. But maybe it's even a disservice just to list all those because I'm just throwing all these ideas at you. I mean, I really hope in this that you grab a couple and spend a little time with God about it. It just goes... We've got to be honest, like maybe for me, like I still struggle with the doing and being, and that can be kind of cliche, but I want to do more, and then it can cover the insecurity and the accusation that I'm not good enough and that other men are better than me. If I can do better and please people, and it's something I just wrestle and wrestle and wrestle, and until I believe these things, until I start to say, God put me together, you know? And I wasn't like the kid that went to youth group and said, that would be cool to be a youth pastor and then a youth pastor and then just never left church. That was not me, man. Like, I had a plan and it wasn't this. And you know where my plan would have got me? Divorced, miserable. Right? Divorced, miserable, probably a lot of money, very little joy. Yeah. Probably like a comb over or something in a sports car where my hair would... like that, right? I hope not. But Jesus, he came to save me, and he says, no, I want you to come do things in perfectly my way. And so I get to stand before you in reckless abandon just to be honest. Just to be honest. And I know this is not how you're supposed to preach, right? But come on. You and I, what are we missing? What we're missing is this. What Paul's been telling us in Romans, why I can't jump ahead, is he's like, you got to understand the righteousness. That word, right, when I'm looking at it, I look at the Greek meaning here that he's translating from. It's this idea, not only of being right, but it's this idea of being who you ought to be. You are all on a journey to be who you ought to be. And who you ought to be can only come through your faith in Jesus and your obedience to him. You get that? Ultimately, you being who you ought to be in the sight of God has nothing to do with what you do. It's all because of Jesus. And so when God sees you, you're what they call justified. And it's that idea. Check this out. Hey, rock climbers, say this. Justified means just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. So who's broken something that belonged to their parents? right? After you broke this item, right? Okay, so someone holler, what did you break? Crystal, a car. What is it? Yes. What is that? DVD player, cookie jar, anyone? Yeah, what'd you break? A vase. That's a good one, too. Okay, so once the vase is on the ground, yeah, what did you break? A plate? Yeah, the plate, the vase. This is good. You guys are helping me out here. So the plate, when it hit the ground, what happened to the plate? It hundreds of tiny pieces. What about the vase? Same thing? Did it like into pieces? Yeah. Yeah, Greta? Fancy cup, did it break into tons of pieces? So in that moment, okay, go back, close your eyes. Picture that vase, that plate, that fancy cup on the ground. You remember what it looked like? What did you want to happen as soon as that was done? What did you want to happen? What? It to go away? To be like it just as if it never happened, right? Did you feel the same way? Yeah? Vanish, like it never happened. Wow, you guys are good. I got to have you help me preach every week. What did you feel? A little sad, yeah. Sad, and then please make it disappear before mom can see it, right? Wow. Wait a second. Let's just stop a second. Isn't that what it's like when you blow it? Can we just, I wish I had a remote, you know, rewind and not do the same thing you just did. Don't say the word you just said. Don't do the action that you just did. Don't break the fancy cup or the plate. You wish it would happen. What you could do is just click a button and it would be just as if it never happened. Wow. What are we missing? That's God's offer. The plate of your life that's just, that you just dropped, maybe you threw it down, of your life is just shattered in like hundreds of pieces, as they said. And like Greta said, when I look at it, at first I just feel sad. I'm like, what did I do? We shouldn't stay there. Because of Jesus. What are we missing? We're really missing the love of God, his acceptance. Yeah. Can you say that again, Jen? You're wonderfully made in the way of the Lord. Yes. If those things are true, now who had something broken by one of their kids? Yeah, yeah. Has anyone cut all attachment to them forever and damned them to hell for actually breaking your plate? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not condoning that behavior. We're wonderfully made in the way of the Lord. Yeah, please. Wonderfully made in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah, and that can be different. How it's how he sees you, not how you see yourself. Yeah. See, so what's the objective as I'm getting up here? Man, I just want you guys to wrestle with that a little bit. Maybe slow down. Just blow off the dust off the Bible. Like, you know, I need to too. And maybe not think I got to read 30 chapters. But spend some time with the Lord and let some of these sink in. Like, you're wonderfully made. And Jesus was talking about, he gave a parable about this prodigal son. And I keep coming back to that. And see, this kid blatantly went to his dad and says, man, I don't want your life. I don't want to do what you tell me to do. I just want the money and what I'm entitled to, and then I'm out. And so he gives him the money, and he goes off, and he lives like the worst Vegas movie you've ever seen in your life. He blows all the money. In the end, he's like hanging out with pigs, eating out of the trough. And then he comes to his right mind, is what it says. And then he decides, why don't I go home and maybe I can even be a servant for my father. Is this supposed to be a picture of how it is with God? Here's the amazing thing. The God I think I picture, here's how it would go. You would come back, and the dad would be at home in the chair or something, right? Arms crossed. I knew you'd be back. Right? Well, you owe me $350,000 plus interest. Right? Isn't this how we treat God to be? And I'm waiting. Are you promising you're never going to do this again, Will? Can you admit you were wrong and you'll never do this again? And this is the God I think that we're given and we're taught. And so there's so much fear we think we're on our own. But that's not the way the story goes. The son is far off. The dad runs to him, never asks him. He doesn't know what he's coming back for. Maybe he's just like, what's up, dad? I just want some more money. That's how it could have went down. But the father didn't wait to make sure that this son had turned and changed his ways. When the son simply turned and came back to the father, that's all he needed. And that father came and he grabbed him and he gave him his best things and threw a huge party. That's the God that we're talking about. And so those dozens of verses I gave you, I don't know which one it is that you need to hear. Like, and really hear. Like, can I have that ball back? Thanks, man. You know, you guys praying for me, it reiterates what God told me is he says, you know, Will, this is what I need to hear from him. And this isn't in the Bible necessarily, so forgive me for going beyond that, but it's not counter. He's like, if you couldn't do this, would I have asked you to? If you couldn't, right? If you couldn't have done this, could I ask you? And do you need anything, you need any more vote of confidence than I would entrust you to this? Wow, right? And that way, when I suffer, which I will, and when I have a day where it's hard to get up and come do this, if I can hold on to these truths, I guess. I know. I know I'm not as smart or cool or as well-spoken to the guy you listened to on the internet this morning. I know I wear the same clothes a lot, you know. Sometimes I don't even wear shoes. But God said, I like who you are. I made you that way. And I've asked you to come be you and be real with these people. And together we're going somewhere. I take that and keep that inside. What are we missing? If we don't ask, he won't give you over and above what you ask for. Yeah. So no surprises, no manipulation, you know. But I like to pray. I like to pray with this question. I like to pray that the Holy Spirit, because you know something the Holy Spirit does, he reminds us of everything that God's already, you know, invested and put in us. All these verses that came across, maybe some note that you made. I hope that while we're praying, he might begin to show you what it is that you're missing, what's coming between you and this God who says, because of Jesus and through him, you and I can have a relationship just as if you never broke that plate. Because, you know, we will drop these plates and they'll shatter on the ground. And sometimes our life seems out of control, but if we've truly received these things that God has said about us, we'll allow him to pick up those pieces. And it says that he makes us a new creation, not even like a glued back together creation that doesn't hold water, but a new creation. I want that. Lord, I start with the question because I have so many more questions than answers, but this is it. I think the question on my heart is, what am I missing? What's coming between me and receiving and believing and internalizing all these ideas that come across my intellect, through my sight, through my thought processes? What is missing? What do I need to hear from you? What do I need to receive from you? What do I need to take from your word and make it my own? And so, Lord, I don't know how to do that other than to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And you say that you've given us the Holy Spirit, and we believe you and we feel your presence, Lord. So ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us, to be in our midst, Jesus, that you would be in us and around us and before us and behind us and below us and above us and everywhere in between. Speak to us. You are fearfully and wonderfully. And when I made you in my image, not an image of someone else so I could say, I know, they're screwy just like George. No, in your image. You love us so much that you sent your son, your one and only son, to die. You love us so much that you've forgiven our sins of the past. You love us so much that you haven't come for judgment. You love us so much that no matter what we did, maybe even before here, maybe even while we were here, the things that have thoughts that we've had, that you'll forgive those if we lay them before you, that you'll forgive those if we call on Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that you restore us, that you make us new, that you make us just as if we've never sinned, that you keep working in us. Jesus, we just praise you for that. What are we missing? So Lord, I just ask that as we sing, you would continue to speak to us, that you continue to speak to our hearts, that you would invest your love and your truth in us, Lord, and that you would lead us, that we could walk in your truth and we wouldn't just disregard it, but we would hold on to it, consider it, think about it, talk about it, and make it our own. Come, Lord, I pray this in your mighty name.